Hello, and welcome to I Homeschool My Kids and You Can Too, an Incandescent Kids book project dedicated to shining a light on the families engaged in the hottest trend in education, homeschooling. In our interviews with parents and kids, we'll be answering the three big questions. Should we do it? If so, how? And in the end, how did we do? I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, your host and the author of I Homeschool My Kids and You Can Too. We thank you for joining us for today's episode. Hello, and welcome to I Homeschool My Kids and You Can Too, a podcast show on the Incandescent Radio Network. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, your host and author of this upcoming book, which will actually launch Incandescent Learning and Incandescent Kids Magazine. So I am thrilled and honored to be here with Lauren Bell, the Convention Director for HEAV.org, the Home Education Association of Virginia. She's held this position for 8 years, but for more than 2 decades, she has been a homeschool mom. So welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, let's just leap right in. So tell us your history. What made you decide to homeschool your kids, and what is your background?
I guess it started when I was pregnant with my first child. I worked as a school psychologist in a pretty affluent school district where I just felt that the teachers there were there to educate. They definitely had that strong background, but weren't really nurturing the students the way that I would want my children to be nurtured. And really start thinking about, would I want my kids to be here all day long? Was this the type of education that I wanted for them? And I thought that through all through my pregnancy, and my husband and I decided at the end that we would homeschool our kids. And did it for 25 years. They were homeschooled from birth, I should say, all the way through until they entered college. And it was the best decision that we could have ever made.
So tell us a little bit about your kids.
Okay, I have 4 children. Now, my oldest, Kiana, is 28 now, and she graduated from Old Dominion University with a degree in communications, and shortly after graduating was married and moved to England, where she lived for 5-6 years. While she was overseas, she became a manager of a bank over there and has since relocated back to the States, and she's a loan officer in a bank in Texas. And they are getting ready to start their family, and I'm praying that they choose to homeschool their kids as well. My next oldest, Kayla, is 23, and she graduated from Regent 2 years ago, Regent University, with a degree in film. And she works for a production company where she's using her skills, editing and producing materials for kids is what she pretty much does. She produces a show every month with materials to go along, very hands-on. And so she's loving that. And she also runs a business online where she sells vintage clothing. And then our next child is 20. I had to stop and think. He's 20. I can't believe he's 20. He is not currently in school. He was at Tidewater Community College, but due to health reasons, has had to step back from school for a little bit. He's a manager at our local Chick-fil-A, so that is what he's doing right now and trying to get back to full health so that he can decide what God has for him for the future. And then our youngest is 18, Karina, and she is currently a student at Tidewater Community College. She has completed all of her requirements for an associate's degree, and she did this while in high school. And she is currently studying for the boards for nursing school. So her goal is to start nursing school in the fall. And she was blessed to be able to do dual enrollment. So she's actually a junior in college, and she should have just be graduating from high school this year. So one of the benefits of being homeschooled, being able to accelerate at her pace. So that's been a blessing.
That's amazing. They all sound incredibly accomplished, and credit to your academic finesse. So tell us, before we launch into some questions about the specifics of homeschooling, tell us about your background and your education experience.
I started off in school at a very small private school in New York, And my siblings and I attended there first through third grade. And it was not the best experience, only because I entered school already reading. And remember very vividly being punished because I would read a book under my desk while the teacher was teaching phonics. And having already, my parents tell me this now, I was reading probably on the third grade level in kindergarten. So, of course, phonics wasn't the most interesting subject for me at the time. We entered public school, I guess, when I was in fourth grade, and did public school throughout the rest of those years, and always had the experience of not being encouraged to do well, always being told that I would never be able to be what I wanted to be. At that particular time, I wanted to be a physical therapist, and I remember the counselors telling me, you can only be a physical therapist assistant, you know. Striving for, you know, to be an actual physical therapist is not realistic, and always feeling not supportive. But luckily, I had parents who were very supportive, and we were exposed to a lot of things educationally, and I was able to graduate from high school with honors and went on to college. I have my bachelor's degree in early childhood education, and then I went on to get my master's in education and became a school psychologist, and from there went on and worked on my doctorate degree. And like I mentioned before, had worked in the public school system, I think it was about 6 or 7 years before having children. So my background was in education, and I say that because when I started homeschooling, I brought school into our home and, you know, tried to have it very regimented, you know, sitting at your desk, and we had to do it from 8 to 3. And luckily, I learned very quickly that that's not the best way to homeschool. But that is my background, and it has been advantageous at times dealing with different issues, having that school psychology background. But now that I was able to let go of the regimen of school, I think that we were able to flourish at home.
So tell us about your day when you have four children and you're teaching them at different levels. So there's a creativity that is so profound, and especially with someone with some education background, I wonder if that's easier than a parent who maybe doesn't. So let's talk about all of those things, but start with the specifics. So when you first started doing this, how did you ramp up? How did you know what was right? And then by the time you had four kids all at home school, what did your days look like?
In the beginning, it was simple. My oldest was an only child for 6 years, so I only had to focus on one in the beginning. So we started out very school-like. We had a school room with she had a desk in it, and we'd start promptly at 8 o'clock, and we used the curriculum. I love the curriculum. It was workbooks, you know. We started out in the morning, and we did our Bible, and it was in a workbook, and then we moved to math and then to English. And everything was done in a workbook, and we would finish, you know, school at usually around 12 o'clock. We were able to get through those basic subjects because, you know, she was all of 4 years old at the time. But again, everything was done in a workbook. We'd have recess, and on certain days we would meet with friends and, you know, go to the park and do different things. And in the evening we would have our story time. We'd spent a lot of time reading aloud. We would do experiments and different things, and that's what we would do in the evening. As I added children to the family, it's very difficult to be that regimented, because when you're working with a child with a workbook, you need to kind of be there unless you're just going to hand them the book. And I found it was more difficult once I introduced the second child into our homeschool, you know, being called and not knowing who to go to first. And we started doing more unit studies at that time, where we would study character traits is what we started out with. So, for example, we studied about the character trait of being attentive. So we did a study on the eye and just different things about being attentive. And so I was able to do that with both of the kids at the same time, even though there was a six-year age difference. We were able to do things on each of their level and then some things together. We co-op with another family when we did experiments. I remember doing a dissection of the eye, and that worked very well. And we continued to really do unit study type things as we added children to the mix. So that worked really well. As I had more children, our day's structure was very different because you have to have nap time. You have to have a break in the day. And we started having centers in our schoolroom where there was places where the younger ones can play with blocks to have a break from doing things. And I would kind of rotate what was in the center so that I could focus on doing math with the older one or Spanish or something that I wasn't doing with the younger one. So we just started introducing different centers so they'd have an opportunity to do things. It could be sorting blocks or a store that was set up where they could play with, you know, play money and do different things like that. So that went on until I no longer had toddlers and all of the kids were school age. And at that point, we were able then to really take it to another level where we were able to do unit studies. But, you know, now I'm dealing with kids who can all read and really participate. And we took on bigger projects, took more involved field trips together, and also became very much involved with co-ops outside of the home where they could do things that they were interested in, be it taking a Spanish class, join a band, be in a choir, and do different things like that. Because then, you know, we started that, I think, when our youngest one was five, when it was easier to kind of get out and get involved. And they did sports with the homeschool leagues and different things. We integrated more outside things in our homeschool at that point.
For our audience members that don't know about co-ops or the homeschool community, talk a little bit about what that is, how that worked, and you're in Virginia Beach. How did you find other homeschool families to play with?
Co-ops are, and they're so different now than they were back in the old days, I would say. When I started being part of a co-op, I started with our church. There were several families in our church who homeschooled. And they always would say, you know, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing for math? What are you doing for this? And we'd say, hey, you know, we're planning on doing a dissection of the eye. Would you like to join us? And so that's how we started co-oping, where it would just be, you know, me having a mom and her kids come over around our kitchen table, and we would, you know, work on a project together. It could be, in my case, I didn't like to actually cut the stuff, but I was good at organizing it, making sure we had all the materials. And then you had the mom who, you know, didn't mind getting her hands dirty, didn't mind the blood and all of that stuff. So we worked together, and that's how we started co-oping. Over the years, the co-ops have changed quite a bit. And by the time my kids were older, we actually became part of a co-op that took place in a church. And parents now would teach different classes. So, for instance, my kids wanted to take Spanish. Although I've taken Spanish, I didn't feel equipped teaching it to them. So there was a mom who was from Spain who taught Spanish, and they would go Tuesdays and Fridays to Spanish class. And while they were taking Spanish, I was teaching math because that's something that I felt very comfortable with. And so I was teaching high school level math to some of the other children. And so we pulled together and we all offered different classes in the areas that we felt comfortable teaching. At this co-op, it was a music co-op. It's Young Musicians of Virginia. My children also had a chance to be in a choir. The kids would get together, and we had a choir teacher, and the kids had a chance to sing. They had performances. There was a band as well, so they had an opportunity to participate in those types of things as well. Now, co-ops, and I just retired from working at our co-op after 15 years, have become more of a business. Now you pay for classes. It's not so much that there are other homeschooling moms who are teaching it, but people who just happen to be, you know, experts in that particular field, and you're paying for the classes. And very often people will come and literally take classes starting at 8 a.m. till the end of the day, pretty much like a school or a private school. And that's what you're seeing more of now. But it's the same premise where your child has an opportunity to learn from someone who might be, you know, more comfortable in teaching a subject.
It's a fascinating evolution. I've watched it from a variety of angles. So talk a little bit just about this experience. What were some of your favorite subjects to teach? What did field trips look like? But also follow that up with talking about some of the challenges to having no boundaries around, you know, what you have to do.
Okay. Well, My favorite time was when the kids were very little. I'm one of those people that I want to share every moment. And, you know, when they were younger, we ended up buying a house that had a huge room over the garage that we turned into a schoolroom, and it was my dream schoolroom. And we spent some of the most wonderful times in that schoolroom. To start up the day, we had every morning we would do devotions. The kids would make up dances to go with the different songs that we sang to start our day. And we were in a rhythm. We didn't answer the phone during the day. Each year, we would talk about what we wanted to cover, what the kids were interested in. And we taught to their interests. I have one, I mentioned my daughter who's about to go into nursing school. She's always loved science. And she'd come up with, you know, oh, I want to learn about, you know, the brain. And we would, you know, just make a whole study around the brain, just do all different types of things around the subjects that they were interested in. So by far those days when, you know, I can kind of control the schedule, we all work together. I think those were some of the best days of our homeschool. I loved when they were older as well. It got a little crazier because as they get older, they get different interests and you're more out of the home. And that's, I think, the most challenging part of being a homeschool mom is keeping the balance, being able to make sure that you're covering what they need academically and not being overwhelmed by so many things that are pulling you out of your home. You know, the kids started doing gymnastics and they took violin lessons and they were doing sports. And it's so easy to be running, you know, constantly, especially when you have four kids and they have different interests and not having that time at home. And so I think that was one of the biggest challenges. And we decided as a family that we would do things together. So everyone took violin lessons. So we all went to the violin teacher together. And, you know, we were there for a long time as they all took their lessons. And if we were doing soccer, everyone played soccer. Luckily, our homeschool league, we all were out on the same field. There were different games going on. But we were able to do those things as a family. We learned to work around that by just making a decision, my husband and I, that when we did things, we would just do them together. So I think that that was the solution for us. And I think one of the biggest problems with homeschool moms is that we think that we can do it all, and we can't. you know, it's hard to be out all day and still make sure you're, you know, making a good meal, you're doing your lesson plans, and, you know, you have a handle on all of the things that are required to make sure that your children are getting a well-rounded education. And taking care of yourself in your marriage. So our decision to kind of keep us together as a unit was the solution to that.
You and your husband are really aligned. Was there any question on his part that this is the solution for your family to homeschool?
In the beginning, he thought I was crazy. And when I said, I wasn't going back to work. like, nope, I'm going to stay home. So that was, you know, something that we, you know, really had to pray through. And in the end, he realized, you know, when I kind of shared my heart about the different teachers that I was exposed to as I worked, I had an opportunity to work in three different schools, and just really sharing my heart about my own experience in school and what I was seeing in the schools that I was working in, he just, you know, said, you know, let's give it a try. And the thing I think that really sealed the deal was our second child was born when my oldest kid would have been starting first grade. So we had decided that, yes, we would do kindergarten and take it from there. And we were in agreement that we would not put, you know, our very young kids into daycare, that I would be home, you know, at least during the first year. So we had another year, you know, that we were, you know, committed to, you know, keeping the younger one home. So I'm like, well, we might as well go ahead and keep the oldest one home with her. And it just kept going. You know, we prayed about it every year, and we saw no reason not to continue. And then it just became who we were. We were homeschoolers and really knew that this was what God was calling us to do. So we just continued to do it.
Did any of your kids want to go to public school? Did they ask for that?
Our youngest one And it's kind of funny. She was either 4 or 5. She was pretty young, and we were the people. For some reason, God has a good sense of humor. The school bus has always stopped in front of our house, no matter where we've lived. It seems that's where the school bus would come. And so, in our first home, the school bus would pull up, and I remember my daughter being in the window. She had a little Barney backpack that she took when we'd go on outings, and she would run and get her backpack and everything and stand in the window and look at the school bus and the kids lining up. She just wanted to, you know, she kept saying that she wanted to do what all the other kids were doing. But she didn't want to give up all the stuff that we did during the day. You know, it's kind of, she wanted both worlds. And I had an opportunity. I was still actually working part-time in the public school. I would go in 2 afternoons and work as a school psychologist. And while I was at school, they were looking for someone to coach the cheerleaders. And something just told me, you know, we should do this. And so I signed up to be the coach of the cheerleaders, and I would bring Kiana with me, and she would have the opportunity to ride the school bus as we went to the different basketball games. And that's all she wanted. She wanted to ride the school bus. Middle school kids on a school bus are crazy. And though she loved it, she didn't like the noise level. She didn't like the confusion that was going on the school bus. And after we did it, I guess, from January to the end of the school year. She had enough. She was okay with it when we discussed as a family whether or not I was going to go back to the school. She goes, no, we shouldn't do that anymore, Mom. And that was it. There was no more discussion about going to school. And from there, none of the kids have really talked about it. I've had a couple of them ask if they could homeschool college as well, to not have to deal with all of the stuff that goes on there. So the kids, in my perspective, were pretty content, always had lots of friends, always had lots going on, and there was nothing that they felt that they were lacking.
So this is definitely like one of the hottest trends in education from all the educators I've talked to and the people we're interviewing for I Homeschool My Kids and You Can Too, the book. So talk about the trends, as you alluded to it a little bit earlier, that, you know, co-ops have changed in the decades that you've been working as a homeschool mom. What are you seeing as the future of this industry?
I believe that when I started homeschooling, most of the literature that I read, people homeschooled because they felt that God was calling them to homeschool. It wasn't a decision that was made because their kids were being bullied or health reasons or the different things that you're seeing today. It was because there was a calling that we were called to homeschool so that our family could learn about life together, that we could teach our kids about God and what it was like to be a child of God at home. And so that was the reason that almost everyone that I work with in co-ops and different things, we all had the fact that we were Christians and we were working together for that good as we homeschooled. And that has changed tremendously over the years. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just different than how it was. I know the last few years that I worked in the co-op, although it was a Christian co-op, more and more of the kids who participated were there because they had health reasons. So for whatever reason, they weren't able to be in the school environment, you know, 5 days a week. They had mental health issues, which is very common, suffering from depression or anxiety disorder, at such a level that it was almost impossible for them to attend school. And then you had the kids who had been bullied in school or who had such horrific experiences, be it in an accident involving the school bus or being threatened with a gun or some weapon at school, where they just could not bear to be in a school environment. So I started seeing so much more of that type of family homeschooling, working in the co-op, I would say in the last 5 years that I taught. So that was a big difference. And with that difference came the fact that those moms were working moms. You know, when I started homeschooling, when my daughter was, I think it was in probably preschool and kindergarten age. I work part-time, but once, you know, we started actually homeschooling those elementary years, I was a full-time homeschool mom. I was home and, you know, just concentrating on school and the family. But so many of the homeschool moms now work full-time jobs or part-time jobs. So they're trying to balance even more. And with that need for the kids to have some place to go, co-ops have changed where, like I alluded to before, is that now teachers are paid. Classes are offered, you know, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. Many homeschool students go to multiple co-ops so that they have a place to go while mom and dad are out at work. So that has definitely changed over the years that I've seen. So that those are the major changes that I've seen.
I talk to a lot of families who are secular. They've not made this choice based on religion. And, you know, those are exactly what they articulate as the issue. So what do you see the future looking like in this industry?
You know, I was working with some home educators of Virginia. I do see more and more people pulling their kids out of school. The violence in the schools, I mean, any time that there is a shooting in the school, the number of phone calls into our office escalates. People, they're scared for their kids to be at school. So I do think that we will continue to see people pulling their kids from school. I think that we're going to see more and more online classes offered. I really didn't touch on that because that's something that has grown tremendously as well, because that's an option. You know, your child could be home and they can be getting their education from, you know, professors from the finest universities right at home on their computers. So I think that we're going to see a lot more of that definitely in the future. I think that the support groups and the local co-ops, I see that they're starting to dwindle in the sense that there's not as many of them. The numbers aren't as great because the cost, unfortunately, has gone up. Many of the co-ops that have started recently are more in the business and the cost to attend. You know, if you have three kids and you're paying $50 a class each month, it's, you know, you could pay that and your child could go to a private school. So I'm seeing more and more parents moving to the option of online classes. They're less expensive. They don't have to transport the children back and forth. And it's meeting their needs. The kids are getting the education without having the interaction or the negative interactions that we're seeing.
Yeah, and that's exactly what has inspired me to create incandescentlearning.com so that we can have master teachers from around the country, around the world, and parents, you know, who are super smart and skilled and also have the kids participate in their own learning. And Incandescent Kids Magazine will be a forum for us to teach them to think like a journalist. And these kids are just remarkable in their capacity to have higher level thinking, tell stories, create videos. So I'm really excited about that and more than thrilled that you are granting me this interview because you are definitely one of the, you know, the people that I have tremendous respect for. So before we finish our interview, tell us a little bit about HEAV.org.
I'd love to. HEAV is our state homeschool organization. And I have the privilege of running the annual convention there, but that's just a small part of what HEAV does. HEAV is there to support homeschool parents and students as well. We have counselors that are available to answer questions. We have lobbyists that are there in the legislature, you know, fighting for our rights. That's one thing that a lot of new homeschoolers aren't familiar with is the fact that homeschooling has not always been legal. And every day there are bills and things that are going on that are a threat to the freedom of homeschooling. And HEAV is constantly fighting to keep homeschooling as an option. So they're doing that. They have people. We have what we call our curriculum doctors, who offer help in terms of, you know, what curriculum can I use and what would work best with my child. We have special needs counselors who help parents who have brought their kids home because they have special needs that cannot be addressed in the school. So they are there, we say, 365 days a year to support homeschooling and homeschooling parents, where they're to encourage and to give you the tools and the resources so that you can be successful as a homeschool mom. We also support single moms who are homeschooling. We have a curriculum bank of things that parents can come into our office and pick up free of charge. People donate things, and we're able to recycle them and get them out to people so that we can support even, you know, someone trying to homeschool and balance that work and schooling. So HAV was such a blessing to me as I did my homeschooling journey. The state convention was something that we look forward to every year. I'm a book junkie, so it was like, you know, you can't beat it, you know, having this exhibit hall filled with all of the newest curriculum. It was just something that was such a blessing.
It's fantastic. Yeah. Well, we're really excited. I'm really excited to talk with you more and work with HEAV as I roll out Incandescent Learning and Incandescent Kids Magazine and publish I Homeschool My Kids and You Can Too, because as I say in the introduction, I would have never had the courage to homeschool my two children. It didn't ever cross my mind. But when I did encounter this culture, you know, I was just fascinated, and I had a lot of questions. And now, Lauren, thank you so much for being here to answer some of them. And I look forward to actually interviewing you again as we continue to evolve, because the book addresses three questions. Should I, if I decide yes, how do I do it? And then at the end, was I successful? And you clearly, your children sound like they are incredibly successful and that you had a wonderful experience. So thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, thank you. I love talking about homeschooling, so it was my pleasure.
Wonderful. You are listening to I Homeschool My Kids and You Can Too, a radio show on the Incandescent Radio Network, soon to be book, published by Incandescent Public Relations, my firm. I look forward to having more conversations like this one today with Lauren Bell, and I look forward to you tuning back in again. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of I Homeschool My Kids and You Can Too. If you or anyone you know is part of the homeschool community and would like to be interviewed for the show, please let us know. Just email me at hope@hopegibbs.com. That's hope@hopegibbs.com. We look forward to sharing more inspiring homeschool stories with you soon. Thanks so much.